This episode is brought to you by Honda. When you test drive the new Prologue EV, there's a lot that could impress you about it. There's the class-leading passenger space, the clean, thoughtful design, and the intuitive technology. But out of everything, what you'll really love most is that it's a Honda. Visit Honda.com/EV to see offers.
Ian, something happened earlier in the show tonight that I felt a little embarrassed about, and I think I owe you an apology. I'm Aaron Goldhammer in for Amber Wilson. He is Ian Fitzsimmons. Amber and Ian are on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80. We're presented by Progressive. The big news in sports today is that Bo Nix has been named the starting quarterback of the Denver Broncos. Really, I'm surprised it wasn't Jared Stidham or Zach Wilson that they decided to give the ball to. It's not like they had great options. So we open the show at 7 o'clock Eastern time, and I call them my Broncos and refer to them in the collective we, which you immediately call, is this a faux pas? Is it a faux pas that
I should stop doing
when talking about, like, I don't play for that. I grew up in Denver. It's like the one little Denver thing that I still have. I live in Cleveland now. Is it okay to refer to your team and you as the collective we in sports?
I don't have a problem with it at all. And there was a day where media members were not supposed to talk about, like, where they went to school and if they're a fan of their alma mater or the team where they grew up. Look, we all got into this because we were fans of sports teams.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget, I'm doing a show in Columbus, Ohio, and Scott Van Pelt is on with Herb Street and I. And I was still of that. It's like 02, right? I mean, it's a long time ago, 22 years ago.
Yeah.
And I was still of that mindset as a young, you know, on-air personality of, you can't talk about, you know, my school or my team. And I got just destroyed by Van Pelt and Herb Street. I mean, like, this guy. I mean, he can't talk about – I mean, it's okay. The Saints are your team. I got ripped. Like, and then Van Pelt's like, it's my Maryland Terrapins. I mean, I feel like I own part of that damn franchise,
but
right?
Let me just add one thing. He did go to Maryland. So in college, it's a little bit different because that is your school. I guess I feel like it's my city.
Yeah, but I didn't play for the damn Saints, but that's my squad. It's a true story. Hammer, this is a true story. My younger brother, who's now with the Seattle Seahawks, he gets hired by the Carolina Panthers. My mom refers to the New Orleans Saints as her beloveds. Not the Saints, the beloveds. She tells her son, congratulations, I'm so proud of you. You know, because look, when a head coach gets fired, the entire coaching staff is just gone like mafia style. Everyone's gone, right?
Yeah,
I mean, it's over.
Right.
So Cliff Kingsbury gets fired at Arizona, entire coaching staff blown up, and he lands in Carolina. My mom tells him, so proud of you. Congratulations. Hope you go 15-2.
And she literally was rooting against her son.
Her son.
When
yes.
the Saints played the Panthers.
Yes.
Twice a year.
So
not just
yes.
because they struggled, but you're telling me if there was Sunday night football for the NFC South Division crown at the Superdome, Carolina goes to New Orleans, she would have her Saints stuff on.
Is that a Sunday game?
It's a Sunday night.
Okay, she's pre-Vatican II. She's a devout Irish Catholic. She would actually pray, who should I pull for? My child or my team? The
or
beloveds.
My beloveds.
Or the beloveds. Yes, can't make it up. So that's where we all come from. So you're okay saying my Denver Broncos. You're good. Even though you live in Cleveland and cover the Browns, you grew up a fan of the Donkeys. You're good.
I'm glad we clarified this. Amber and Ian are presented by Progressive Insurance. Looking for a career you're going to love with flexibility, great pay, benefits, and one of the country's top workplaces? Come join the growing team. Go to progressive.com/careers. Apply online today, progressive.com/careers. Ian, we laughed about it, but the other options for Denver kind of made it obvious when they drafted Bo Nix that they were going to be playing Bo Nix. This is not, though, a stereotypical rookie quarterback situation. He has started more college games than just about anybody, 61 in total, and he's 24 years old. So really, this is like a third-year quarterback in most drafts that's actually called a quote-unquote rookie this year for Denver.
Yeah, and to your point about Jarrett Stidham, we're going to set Zach Wilson aside, right? But Stidham, I think, is a quality backup in the NFL. I mean, if you have to have a guy come in for five games, right? He can help you if you have a good defense, sound running game, decent O-line, right? He's a 2 and 3 kind of guy. So, Stidham's going to be in this league, I think, for another 6-7 years. You know, first at Baylor and then at Auburn. He's going to be around for a while as a quality backup guy. He's not going to kill you over a 4 or 5 game stretch.
If you had to play him, as you said, for 5 games, you might be able to win 2 of them and keep your season
alive.
Yeah, right.
You're staying afloat, right? You're not drowning in football, in the deep end of the football pool.
Yeah.
But Bo Nix comes in, and I was so privileged to be able to see this young man in person a lot. And I'm going to tell you a quick story. Mm-hmm. Last year, our crew with Mark Kastischer and Kelly Stauffer had Oregon at Utah. And Utah was banged up. Ranked 12th in the country at the time, or 13th, you know. But, he has Sione Vaki starting at running back and at safety. You know, and he just gone for like 220 against UCLA, 14 tackles. I mean, he's playing Iron Man football because they were so banged up. Oregon rolls in, and Kelly Stauffer's watching film going, boys, this might get ugly because Bo Nix is going to have a field day, right? Well, they did. Beat him like 35-13 or whatever it was at Utah. Uh-huh. Bo Nix was my post-game interview, and I asked him, like, look, I know Utah's banged up, but you come into this environment, one of the most hostile in college football, into the muss, and you come away with an impressive win. You know, what stood out to you? His answer, we have a lot to work on. Mm. And then off the top of his head – he's going over individual plays that he missed or a receiver ran the wrong route or whatever it was. His memory, his recall is second to none. And that's a lot of what you just referenced, all the football that he's played.
Yeah.
He completed 78% of his passes last year. 78. You do that against a high school team. Yeah. I don't mean 78%, 78%. That is beyond impressive, especially in big boy college football. I'm a huge fan of Bo Nix, and I think that he is going to shine. I think he'll be a very good rookie quarterback. Is C.J. Stroud? Probably not. But, I mean, who is? You got Ben Roethlisberger, Dan Marino, Joe Flacco, C.J. Stroud. That might be
right? It's a short list. RG3 had a great rookie season until he got hurt in the playoff
game. And then wrecked the knee. Yeah, there you go. So,
Bottom
line is, you know, I think Bo Nix was the choice. And he left no doubt about it. And speaking of Oregon, right, here's Dan Lanning before the draft when we sat down with him and we asked him, how does a team – what does Bo Nix bring to a team and how would he fit in Sean Payton's offense? Here's what the head coach at Oregon said.
I think he'd be a great fit. And I think there's a lot of teams that he would be a great fit for just because he's been exposed to a lot. Like, he's operated. He's been a guy that's had multiple offensive coordinators in college. He knows football. He's the son of a coach. So I think there aren't a lot of systems that he couldn't go, you know, be a plug-and-play guy in the right system. You know, I just think it's for Bo. He had gotten more and more comfortable with what the talent was around him here at Oregon and how he could take advantage of it. He's a guy that recognizes matchups and wants to find ways to get the guys the ball that are really positive matchups, advantageous matchups. But, the Broncos and Sean, the job they do, I think that'd be a great fit for him.
And Aaron, he's faced adversity. He's a better player for it. He's a better person for it at Auburn and in his first couple starts at Oregon when he got donkey kicked, right, by Georgia in week one, and he bounced back from it. Bo Nix, Denver – you've got your quarterback for the next decade plus.
You brought up the completion percentage in college, 78%. The preseason so far in Denver, he's 23 of 30. That's 77% completions. He's thrown 205 yards, 2 touchdowns, a quarterback rating of 117, and also in about 6 drives, at least in his first 6 drives in the preseason, the Broncos scored on 5 of them. So I don't know how much the preseason performance really dictates this decision for Sean Payton. I think he's been good in practice. I think he's been good in meetings. I think he's really gone through the process of earning it. But it was – I mean, he'd have had a riot in Denver if he didn't let Bo Nix go out there and start, and he tried to play Jarrett Stidham instead, hammering in on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. I wonder about Bo Nix in the Rookie of the Year. Because I think that unlike Caleb Williams, who's obviously the prohibitive favorite for all the reasons, I really trust the coaching situation, the hands in which Bo Nix rests. with Sean Payton, he's got the best coach and offensive mind of any of the rookie quarterbacks. And I just assume it's likely that a quarterback is going to end up winning the award, Ian.
Yeah, I think it's going to be that guy in Chicago. Everything I said about Bo Nix, you can even add a little bit more to it with a cherry on top when it comes to Caleb Williams. He's just got everything. I mean, every bit of it. He's also faced adversity last year for the first time in his career. And as he told us at the NFL draft, he really learned from it. Became a better player because of it. You know, having faced five losses for the first time, whether it was high school or college. So I think that right now is your front runner. I wouldn't bet it because you're not going to get long odds on it on ESPN bet. But I think right now your front runner is Caleb Williams. Probably number two is Jaden Daniels if he learns to slide or get the hell out of bounds. But Bo Nix, come week 16, week 17, he'll be right there in the mix, man. He's a hell of a ball player.
Right now on ESPN Bet, Caleb Williams is plus 120. So there's not good value, certainly, if you want to bet that. I understand there's been the most hype about him.
What's Marvin Harrison Jr.?
Plus 650. He's third choice.
Now that's worth
six
that's,
and a half
might,
to one.
I kind of a little bit.
Am I crazy to kind of like them a little bit this year as a surprise team in
yes.
the NFC?
Yes.
I'm crazy, or it could be a good idea.
No,
I'm crazy.
No. I'm not a Kyler Murray guy.
Jaden Daniels plus 600, and Bo Nix is 11 to one with Malik Nabers and that wide receiver in Kansas City, Xavier Worthy. 15 to 1 and 19 to
Where's
1.
Where's Brock Bowers?
Respectively. Ooh, that's an interesting one. Brock Bowers.
That dude is
42 to 1.
That's worth $10. Absolutely.
What about Keon Coleman, 37 to 1? Is his team's kind of number one receiver right now in Buffalo with a good quarterback?
Dude, I could tell you more stories about Keon Coleman. I'm a huge fan of that big dude, and he is a big dude. He's every bit of 6'4", 240, and his mouth backs up everything that he has to talk that he puts out on the field. But I think Khalil Shakir, who I stole that from Field Yates, he might have a breakout season as wide receiver one for the Buffalo Bills.
Some interesting names. I might have to think about making a little wager as we go through those for Rookie of the Year. Coming up next, we are in the midst of NFL Two-A-Days. Best case, worst case scenario for the team who had the biggest collapse in 2023. That's next on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like UNTUCKit or Allbirds. Sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%. Meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling. On the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout UNTUCKit uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/network.
Finding the right employee for your company is tough. One wrong hire can be a major setback. You're not alone if you face this. A recent survey by Robert Half shows nearly half of hiring managers readily admit to making a bad hire. Luckily, there's a solution. With Robert Half's specialized recruiter's experience combined with our award-winning AI, you can have the right skilled professional in place quickly. We understand what it takes to build winning teams because at Robert Half, we know talent. Discover how we can help at roberthalf.com/talent.
This is 180. ESPN Radio's NFL Two-A-Days. The Philadelphia Eagles.
This is Tim McManus covering the Eagles. Can Jalen Hurts get back to that near MVP form he showed two seasons ago? Things really fell apart for Philadelphia down the stretch last season, including offensively. The visions of head coach Nick Sirianni and offensive coordinator Brian Johnson and Hurts simply did not mesh. So Johnson is out, Kellen Moore is in, and he's helping install a new offense that to this point has drawn positive reviews from a lot of players, and is winning over the trust of Hurts. If that can stay there, there's a real chance that this group that includes A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith at wide receiver and Saquon Barkley at running back can get right back up to dominant form offensively.
The Kirk Cousins playlist continues to roll on Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. I'm Aaron Goldhammer in for Amber Wilson with Ian Fitzsimmons tonight on ESPN Radio. Ian, I was a little surprised the Eagles didn't make a coaching change at the end of the year. There was a lot of talk about what was going on, and you heard Tim McManus kind of allude to the lack of vision and the issues with the offensive coordinator and the head coach. They decided to stick with Nick Sirianni, and then as you listen to them run through the quality of players, and yes, they'll miss Jason Kelce on their offensive line, but this
big
is a
time.
Team. This is a team that's still pretty loaded, though. Top the good quarterback, two great receivers, and they add one of, if not the best, pure running back in the NFL in Saquon Barkley.
Look, they're talented. We all know that. And you mentioned the loss of Kelce. That stinks. I mean, that's not just the anchor of your offensive line, but that's a voice in your locker room that just resounds, right? I mean, and is heard. I don't care what unit you're in, whether you're a D lineman, or you're in the secondary. Kelce speaks, everyone listens, right?
Yeah.
That's a big loss. But also, they haven't been the same since that Super Bowl when they lost both coordinators, and Gannon and Steichen, to Arizona and the Colts, respectively. I would not have blown up Nick Sirianni. I disagree with you on that. I would have kept him, and they did. So now the Brian Johnson experiment as the OC is done. Now you bring in the boy wonder from the Cowboys and the Chargers and Kellen Moore, who is a very good offensive mind. But you got Cam Jurgens coming in from Nebraska, second-round pick a couple years ago, to try and replace Jason Kelce. That ain't easy, man. That is not easy at all, but – you know, if Kellen Moore can do what I think he's going to do, especially with Saquon Barkley now as an added weapon, I think on that side of the ball they're going to be just fine.
Yeah, they also majorly upgraded their secondary. It's time for us to run through all the possibilities with the Philadelphia Eagles. Let's talk a little best case and worst case.
Best case.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Worst case.
Terrible, terrible, terrible.
It was a team effort, and I guess it took every player working together to lose this one.
Best case. Worst case with Amber and Ian.
All right, it is Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Apologies, big voice guy, for stepping on you. I'm Aaron Goldhammer. He is Ian Fitzsimmons. Ian, why don't you get us started on the positive with the best case for the Eagles, please?
I know I'm going to be in the minority on this one, but I think they win the division, and then they survive in advance and are a threat to go to the NFC Championship game.
Wow. Huh. Over the Cowboys, huh?
Man, the Cowboys have got issues, not just with contracts, but look at that O-line. Now, Cooper Beebe is going to be a star. He's going to be the first offensive lineman to end up in the Kansas State Football Ring of Honor. He is nasty. Zach Martin got himself a really badass playmate to go and just beat the hell out of other kids in the sandbox, right? I mean, Cooper Beebe is that good. Again, the Cowboys, look over going back to Tyron Smith over the last 12 years. They have drafted offensive linemen exceptionally well.
They've been great.
Biotish, Zach Martin, you know, Tyron Smith, Tyler Smith. I mean, they have hit on O-linemen, even in, you know, the undrafted free agent world in Terrence Steele. So, who is, I know, can be a turnstile at times, but as a UDFA, you start for a few years in the NFL, you've done something well. You know, this. So, yes, over the Cowboys, to answer your question. Absolutely over the Cowboys.
I agree with you. I think they could win the division. I think that side by side, San Francisco is a better team. I actually think the 49ers would have beat them 2 years ago if they didn't have both quarterbacks get hurt in the first quarter and they were trying to play Christian McCaffrey, a quarterback, in the NFC Championship game, or one-armed Brock Purdy. And I also think now San Francisco and Detroit are two teams Green Bay and Detroit are two teams that to me have moved ahead of Philadelphia a little bit in the pecking order. So I would say win the division, win a playoff game to me is within the cards. I would be surprised if they were one of the two teams remaining standing in the NFC because I still wonder about their ability to get the best out of the players that they have now in this era and vision of the team. To me, the worst-case scenario for them, though, is that the problems of the end of last year, right, just continue to roll over. they thought they fixed the secondary. What if they didn't and they were still terrible on the back end?
I still can't believe the best corner in the draft fell to them in the first round. And Quinyon Mitchell out of Toledo. Shocked. And then Cooper DeJean, the Caucasian corner out of Iowa, falls to you in the second round.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think they'll be better
there. And you go get Devin White from Tampa, who knows what it takes to actually win the Super Bowl. So I know I'm in the minority. I think that best case, again, they win the division and are a threat to make the NFC Championship game. Worst case scenario, I think they win the division and get bounced in the first round.
So you think they'll win the division kind of either way? To me, I'm still scarred by what I saw from them at the end of the year. Not just at the end of the regular season, but then the way they played against Tampa in that playoff game was so disheartening. It felt like something was deeply wrong inside the organization. Not just that they were going through struggles as a team, but that there were effort questions and like the whole dynamic of things after an unbelievable start when they were everybody's darling to win the Super Bowl. What were they, 10-1, 11-1?
Correct.
The bottom totally fell out of their season. So, you know, if those problems carry over, I think that they could struggle. But if I had to pick, I think they're a wild card team. I do think Dallas will win the division, but I think they're a team that will win 10 games and then, you know, could win a playoff game, could go somewhere and maybe do some damage come the postseason. Can you do the tush push, Ian, without Jason Kelce in there?
We're about to find out, because your quarterback and Jalen Hurts can squat a Camaro. So you've also got some big boys next to him. I mean, Lane Johnson ain't exactly small. You know, Landon Dickerson played center and guard at Alabama for Nick Saban. He's a house also, but when you have a quarterback that defies all laws of physics, even without Kelce, yes, they can still do the tush push.
You know, it is one of the real weapons in all of sports that basically on any 1 yard to go scenario, they were like 95% to convert.
You can't duplicate it. Every other team in college or pro football, just stop trying to do it. You can't do it. You don't have Jalen Hurts to squat a house. Right. No, you can't do it.
Sometimes you find guys who are just kind of special at doing something. He is the best quarterback sneaker in NFL history. Up next, we've all been waiting for it. It's a big deal, not a big deal. Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio.
BetMGM presents Upping the Action with Jamie Foxx.
It's basketball season, baby. When you're playing with BetMGM, you don't need to be 7 feet tall with a 7 foot wingspan to get into the action. Oh, you're betting with the big boys now. I'm talking over points, under assists, and exact rebounds all day. Fadeaway jumper from the left wing hitting nothing but net type of vibe. This basketball season, download the BetMGM app.
And get up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. U.S. promotional offers not available in Nevada, New York, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. or New York. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. Arizona called 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Massachusetts 1-800-327-5050. Iowa 1-800-BETS-OFF. Puerto Rico called 1-800-981-0023. West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 upfront payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds lower above 40 gigabytes. See details.
Is this the Kirk Cousins playlist or is it not the Kirk Cousins playlist? Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. I'm Aaron Goldhammer in for Amber. Ian Fitzsimmons is here. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Ian, reset all of this, because there was a playlist leaked that apparently was Kirk Cousins. Everybody went crazy because it had like a lot of 90s rock and a couple of Simple Plans and an Ocean Avenue by a Yellow Card. And now Kirk Cousins is claiming that this is actually not his playlist. What can you give us a Kirk Cousins playlist update, please?
Yeah, look, last night when this came out from the Atlanta Falcons, we all were like, okay, that's the pastiest playlist we've ever seen in our lives. And Kirk Cousins dated himself, right? I mean, he's old. Drake London referred to him as you know, the pops, right? Almost a team dad when Drake London joined us here last week here on ESPN Radio. And then it comes out today. Good Morning Football on the NFL Network was talking about it. James Steele was very upset about this. We all were. I mean, you know, Renee Kanellis, you know, was our AP, that it turns out, because Kirk Cousins actually phoned in to Good Morning Football saying that it wasn't his. He liked a lot of the music, but it was put together by a Falcons staffer who thought he would like all of those tunes on his birthday to be played before they went out to practice. Never ruined a good story with the truth. I believe him. I do.
You do. I mean, I would have embraced it if I was him. I just, if I'm these teams, okay, don't put out a playlist under the name Kirk Cousins if you're not sure that it's actually Kirk Cousins' playlist. How hard is it to go on his Spotify and just grab a screen grab and actually take a shot of the songs that he's actually listening to? I want to know who this rogue Falcon staffer is that's sending the playlist they thought would be Kirk Cousins, not the actual Kirk Cousins playlist. To me, he's kind of throwing that person under the bus. Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and it's time for us to play a little
edition.
It'd be great
if it was Michael Penix Jr.
Big deal. He's old, too. Big deal, not a big deal.
It's making headlines.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
But is it a big deal or not a big deal with Amber and Ian?
The person who helps us figure these things out is James Steele. He is the producer of Amber and Ian, and he joins us for another edition of Big Deal, Not a Big Deal. What's up, James?
Hi, guys. So Pete Carroll is returning to USC. The former Seattle Seahawks and Trojans coach told Sports Radio 93.3 on Tuesday that he'll start teaching a class at USC in the spring, though he didn't offer any specifics beyond that. Quote, I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be a really exciting endeavor when it's finalized and all that. Ian, big deal, not a big deal. Pete Carroll returning to USC to teach class.
If you're in the class, hell yeah, it's a big deal. He did that when he was the head coach at USC. He taught a class. I can't remember what it was in, communications or whatever. I can't remember, but he's
Trussell
done it before.
Did it, too, so. In Columbus, right? I mean, I know you covered the Buckeyes there. Jim Trussell always taught a class. There was like a war on registration day to try to get in to Coach Trussell's class.
With people were packing machetes in their backpacks. Right? I'm like, all right, let me in. Let me in line.
Exactly. I think this is interesting.
They're like, look, Eddie George is over there signing autographs, trying to get people to get out of line so you can get in Trussell's class.
Archie Griffin. You guys see Archie Griffin? Two-time Heisman winner went that way. I think it's a big deal because I have real questions about Lincoln Riley. And maybe, Ian, you think I'm being unfair. I know he's a great offensive mind. I don't know about him taking that program specifically where ultimately I know they want to go in the Big Ten. If you asked stereotypical USC fan, you could have Pete Carroll back, despite the fact that he's 70 years old, or you could have Lincoln Riley. What do you think stereotypical Trojan fan would say?
Because they're coming off a down year, they go Pete Carroll, but they'd be wrong because they're only 1 year removed from a double-digit win season and a Heisman Trophy winner and you know playing in a Pac-12 title game. So, and that year, they'd be in this format in the college football playoff.
Could you have Lincoln Riley's offense with Pete Carroll's defense? And might that make the perfect team?
Danton Lynn getting him to cross the street from UCLA to come over to USC as his defensive coordinator was a coup. Lynn is a rising star in the coaching industry. So, a lot of people are already hiking their leg on Lincoln Riley and USC this year. Be careful. Okay. Miller Moss is a bad A at quarterback. He's been waiting his turn. He didn't run from competition. He stuck and stayed. I think USC might have some this year. So to answer your question, the casual fan would go Pete Carroll because of the glory days. You'd be wrong right now because I don't know if Pete Carroll wouldn't want to manage the NIL in the portal. A lot of these guys don't want to do that now.
Come on.
I mean,
it's a pain. They had NIL at USC before NIL was even a thing. What do you
got
next?
It wasn't legal. That was the good old days, man. That's when it was easy. Now it's hard.
What do you got, James? What's next?
As we all know, San Francisco 49ers left tackle Trent Williams is holding out. But his former teammate gave us a little bit of an update today. DeSean Jackson, who he played with in Washington, said, quote, I don't think we need to panic. I was just on a phone call with my boy Trent. He's working out, and when I say he's working out, he's in the gym, man. And you know what? a little insight. I don't want to talk too much, but I'm going to give you all a little something. They're working on something. I think they're going to make it right for my boy to come in there. He might be showing up a little late. He's got some fines and some fees he might have to take care of, but he's going to be there. So 49ers fans, it's going to be all right. So you can take it easy. But honestly, he'll be there shortly. Hammer, big deal, not a big deal that DeSean Jackson is reporting that Trent Williams might be showing up to the 49ers soon.
Overall, Ian, I think Trent Williams' holdout is not a big deal because he's such a veteran player that I'm sure the 49ers will have there when they open their season on Monday Night Football against the New York Jets and Aaron Rodgers. Okay. The other thing I'd say about this is I feel they'll take care of Williams. The Ayuk situation is the one that I still don't know where exactly it's going to land. Trent Williams is a much more important player to the 49ers than Ayuk is, by the way, even though it doesn't generate as much conversation. He's the best player in the league, probably still at 30-whatever years old, into his mid-30s at left tackle. But I was never thinking that they weren't going to have Trent Williams. So because of that, I'm going to say this is not a big deal. What do you think, Ian?
I just the way James phrased the question, 49ers fans, you know, is it a big deal? And I would say, yeah, because you want one of the best left tackles in all of football protecting Brock Purdy's blind side. And he's such a pro, you know he's going to come in shape, ready to go. But I agree with you as far as Ayuk. That is arguably the bigger one because that's the harder one to get done. Yeah. Trent's going to come in, give him a week, plug and play, he'll be ready to go. Right. How old is he right now? That's a Google search. Hang on a minute. I got this for you.
He's 34, maybe?
36.
I'm going to say
36.
36 years old.
Oh,
still getting it done.
Look, LeBron gets and deserves a lot of credit for doing what he's doing at 39. Trent Williams being the best left tackle in football at 36 is pretty darned impressive.
He's moving 300-pounders against their will to a spot they don't want to go to at 36.
Jeez.
All right, so there's been some buzz lately about a potential Happy Gilmore 2 being in the works. Adam Sandler was on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon last night. Jimmy Fallon asked him about it. He said that it was in the works. They were working on it. They had a script for it. They worked really hard on it. And Jimmy Fallon also asked him if Travis Kelce, who is kind of asked and petitioned to be in it, was going to be in it. And here's what Adam Sandler had to say.
I heard, you know, do you know Travis Kelce really wants to be part of this?
Yes.
He talked about it.
Travis has been, he mentioned it, and so we have a nice something for Travis. He's going to come by, and he's cool. Very nice guy. You guys would love him in real life. What a big, handsome guy. And
He's a stud,
and he's so funny.
Ian, big deal, not a big deal. Travis Kelce in Happy Gilmore 2.
Yeah, from what I'm hearing, it's a small role, right? A little more than a cameo, but not a big role like it's that horror movie or whatever he's going to be
in.
Yeah,
not a leading role like the one we talked about last night, for sure.
Right. So, it's a big deal for Kelce. And I think he might have something. Like, he's really good in the commercials he does. But
yes,
my bigger question is
the great SNL host, I thought.
On SNL.
Yeah. I mean, so bigger deal is Happy Gilmore going to live up to what we think it should be? I mean, Happy Gilmore was a instant classic. And so that's the bigger deal to me is, forget Travis Kelce having a small role in the movie.
Yeah.
Is Happy Gilmore 2 going to live up to what we all hope it is?
I would say no on that. I mean, look, I'd love for it to be tremendous. I feel like the idea was sort of like a one movie idea. The other thing I'll say about that, Ian, the sports movie sequel is a very difficult thing to pull off. Rocky obviously did it, you know, with a million Creeds, and they keep running movies back pretty good. I don't know if I know another sports movie sequel that worked.
Caddyshack 2 sucked.
Caddyshack 2 is the worst movie of all. So be careful with your golf movie sequels, I guess, is my point on what you said. I think this is a big deal for a different reason. I think it's more proof that while Travis Kelce is still a really good player, I just think he has a lot of other interests and talents beyond being the starting tight end of the Kansas City Chiefs.
He's locked in. Stop. Come on, Hammer.
It wouldn't surprise me if at some point sooner than you think, with his bro already out, he's going to make big splash with us on Monday Night Countdown on ESPN. I have a little insight on this, being in Cleveland. No, I don't. I got no insight on this whatsoever. It just made me think, Is it possible that this could be the last year of Mahomes and Kelce, and then Mahomes has to go forward, you know, in his career? He's going to have to play without Kelce at some point, Ian.
Yeah, and like I get that part. I thought you were going to say he's not, like, you know, fully invested in the team this year. That's not how those boys are wired. He is fully invested.
I know he is.
Going for a
that's part of the reason.
Year? Okay.
That's
but
part of the reason
the
why I wonder after this year. You know, by the way, to make the point about Trent Williams, it's not like Travis Kelce's 28 years old. People forget he had a successful career before Patrick Mahomes was even in the NFL.
You got James Steele, man, pulling on that beard. Don't start talking down about his FAs.
No, yeah, he'll be 35 in October.
Yeah.
I would say that you might be onto something if they end up winning again this year. I could see I could see that happening and then walking
right
away.
Off in the sunset, John Elway style, back to back. See, this is three.
Right into movies and analyst roles and whatever's going on in his personal life. I mean, sounds like a pretty good gig, no?
Gronk has 4 Super Bowls, I believe. He has said before.
Yeah, this would be Kelce's
fourth.
He said
before he wanted to catch Gronk Super Bowl wise. So I think he's going to chase another one. If he gets to this one, then maybe you're on something there.
That is big deal, not a big deal, with Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio. All right, up next, Ian is going to pepper us. Apparently, he learned a lot of things today, and we are going to learn what he did. With a series of questions with Ian Fitzsimmons.
How do you find $5 million of meth at the border? I'll tell you, coming up on ESPN Radio.
Uh-huh.
Bombas makes the most comfortable socks, underwear, and T-shirts.
Warning, Bombas are so absurdly comfortable you may throw out all your other clothes.
Sorry, do we legally have to say that?
No, this is just how I talk, and I really love my Bombas.
They do feel that good, and they do good, too. One item purchased equals one item donated.
To feel good and do good, go to bombas.com/ESPN pod and use code ESPN pod for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ESPN pod and use code ESPN pod at checkout.
Ah, fall Saturdays. The air is crisp. The game is on. Your friends are here and you're outside on grill duty. The Home Depot knows missing the game is not an option. Thankfully, the Traeger Timberline XL Grill is here to help you play defense and make the most of every Saturday. First up, we've got fans to feed, and the Timberline XL is a real crowd pleaser. It can bake, smoke, sear, fry, and saute, so you can feed everyone at the watch party. Whether you want sweet, tangy ribs, jalapeno poppers with a smoky kick, grilled street corn, or some classic buffalo wings, this utility player can do it all. And with Wi-Fire tech and the Traeger app, you can monitor your smoker temp, meat probes, and pellet levels all from the comfort of your couch. So you can watch the game, not the grill, and never miss a moment. Defend your game time with Traeger and the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
We go into the mind of Ian Fitzsimmons on Amber and Ian, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. I'm Aaron Goldhammer. He is Ian Fitzsimmons. I'm in for Amber Wilson tonight. We are presented by our friends at Progressive Insurance. Bo Nix, the quarterback of the Broncos, is the starter. Big sports news of the day. We have discussed a variety of things on the show, but we have yet to get to the things that are really at the top of Ian Fitzsimmons' mind. So Ian, I will hand it off to you and let you pepper us with some little-known facts that you learned throughout the course of the day. The floor is yours, my friend. Go ahead.
All right, Canales, give us a little flow here, man, because this is every now and then when you're doing show prep, you find some gems in the purple section of the USA Today. Now, for those of you who don't know what the purple section is, back in the day, there was a thing called newspapers. And they showed up at your doorstep. And the red section was sports, right? And then the purple section was entertainment. Then you had, you know, the Globe was U.S. And then I think green was money, all right? So the purple section, every now and then you have some sports tie-ins. Then you also have some crazy stuff like what I'm about to tell you. I'm going to save $5 million in meth discovered in Cali for a moment. Let me pose this question to you, though.
Yep.
I didn't know this, but the drive-in movie theater has made a comeback this summer. If there was a drive-in movie theater near you, would you go?
Oh, my God, yes. They've all closed for some reason in Ohio where I live, but when I was a kid, we used to pull the all-time greatest scam. I saw Jurassic Park in the theater this way. My friends, we would all get in the trunk of the car, and then we would pull with one person sitting. One person would pay, and then we'd all jump out of the trunk once we were in the drive-in, because you have to pay per head. It's not per car. It's per person. As you go into the drive-in, we would hide out in the trunk, jump out, jump in, all watch the movie for free. I would still pull that caper to this day if I had a drive-in movie theater next to with us. Also,
James Steele. Would you go to the – oh, sorry, Garen. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, James, you could bring your own snacks in. Like, isn't – I mean, look, I know people are smuggling burritos and all kinds of things into the movies as is. Better when you can sit in your own car and you don't have to deal with the other people talking and coughing. It's a great experience. James, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why you're surprised that all the drive-in theaters went out of business with you sneaking in and not paying and then bringing your own snacks. I mean, I feel like that's
– Well, they've made a comeback. They have made a big comeback.
Touche.
And that's a great point by you. An outstanding observation there, James. If I had the choice right now, I'd go to the drive-in over the movie house to a theater.
Totally. 1,000%.
I like theaters better. I grew up going to the drive-in, though. I feel like Western Pennsylvania was like the capital of drive-in movie theaters, or it is now. I saw Ghostbusters 2 at the drive-in. I saw Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles at the drive-in. Those are the ones I remember seeing. We always talk about doing it, and I think there might be one up around here somewhere. But, yeah, I always like doing it. I'm more of a theater guy, though. You get a bigger, sound experience with that. You always had to listen to the radio. You had to tune your car's radio to the channel that they had designated for the...
Here's the problem, though, James. I got little kids. Okay, we're not going to the theater with little kids unless we're going to go see Moana 2, which we will do when it comes out and hits the theater. It'll be a big deal.
Hell yeah.
Okay? Other than the Disney flicks, you don't take the little kids to go see Megalopolis or whatever the next hot thing is, you know, some movie where stuff blows up or, you know, so I could take them to the drive-in, though. I mean, even if they're taking a nap and I put them on their little iPads or whatever, at least I could get to the movies with my children and not worry about bothering other people if it's at a drive-in movie.
That's a fair point.
The New York Yankees ripped into the Staten Island Little League World Series head coach, can't remember his name, after he ripped Aaron Judge for supposedly not spending time with his Little League team. They were eliminated. This is the first time I can remember saying this, because the Yankees, in a written statement, eviscerated the Staten Island Little League World Series coach, going, if you just reached out to us, we could have handled something. Aaron Judge is one of the best superstars when it comes to dealing with fans, especially kids. There was video of Aaron. The Yankees put out Aaron Judge in the stands with fans, taking pictures with teams, all the other teams. I can't believe I'm about to say this. I am in step with the New York Yankees and eviscerating the Little League World Series coach from Staten Island, accusing Aaron Judge of not spending enough time with his Little League team.
That guy goes from the top of the Little League coaching ranks at Staten Island to the bottom of that. Is he allowed to show his face? You went after the wrong guy in the wrong city, Staten Island Little League coach guy.
He's going to have to move, bro.
Also, such bad vibes. You know, the whole Jazz Chisholm story on Sunday night was so cool that he was exchanging phone numbers with kids. And look, Aaron Judge doesn't have all the time in the world, and probably he felt like, look, I get to the Staten Island Little Leaguers because I live in New York, and they're in New York, so maybe we could set
something up. They're inviting them to the Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, I'm sure they are.
They were invited, and this dude's ripping Aaron Judge.
Go out publicly and
Mensa member, he is not. what an idiot. All right, now, to Otemesa, I don't know, California, however you pronounce that town. U.S. Customs and Border Protection officers seized more than $5 million worth of meth disguised and concealed within shipments of watermelons.
No.
Such a horrible use
this
of watermelon.
It was 4,587 pounds of meth in a shipment of disguised watermelons. They didn't cut open the watermelon. They used like paper mache and wrapped it around the meth and painted the paper like watermelons.
No. No.
What a, I mean, you deserve to get busted and lose $5 million in meth and over 4,500 pounds if you really believed that painting around wrapped meth to look like watermelons was going to get by narco. What an idiot.
The other piece of this story is that they also hid it in celery, apparently, like the produce aisle was the way to. Now, let me, there could not be two more opposite stations of produce. Celery, to me, is one of the worst foods there is. What does it taste like?
It's good to Bloody Mary.
It's just, other than that, it has no use in my eyes. I'm allergic to nuts, so maybe I'm missing out on the whole peanut butter thing. And on the other end of it, man, when it's a fresh watermelon on a hot summer day, that is like number one in the fruit power ranking. So they're attacking opposite ends of this. It's the worst vegetable and the best fruit that they're picking to smuggle the meth into the United States.
I mean, they wrapped paper. They painted paper like a watermelon
project,
and stuffed meth in it.
I mean, maybe they
busted.
Win an award for the creativity.